Acts chapter 17, and let's pray. Father, we thank you this glorious morning for the entrance of your word into our hearts. We thank you once again for this new year, 2021. We declare in faith that it is the year that you have made for us, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, our testimony shall be a joyous testimony, because you will do great and mighty things for us all, and we will all taste of your goodness in a new dimension. And here we are this morning, this first Sunday of the new year, waiting upon you to receive from you the blessings you have prepared for us for such a time as this. Thank you for your word, that as we look into your word, we are looking into the perfect law of liberty. Because your word always brings us liberty. You said, if we continue in your word, then are we your disciples indeed, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Thank you for the truth that we received this morning, and the liberty that comes to us by virtue of the truth that you bring to us out of the holy written word this glorious morning. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to mix faith with your word as we hear it, so that we may be doers of the word and profit thereby. As it is written, we humble ourselves to say, speak, Lord, for your servants hear you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and our guide into all truth, now and always. For in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. Praise God. Acts chapter 17. And we're going to be looking at a subject that I've simply titled, Holy Depend on Christ. In other words, let your total dependence be on Christ Jesus and Him alone. We have to come to that clear understanding individually in the body of Christ, that our help comes from Jesus, our good shepherd. Our help comes from Jesus, who is the head of the church. You see, the body has a connection with the head, and the body functions because of the head. Even if you look at the human body is able to function because of the head. The brain is the center that coordinates every activity of the body. If the body is cut off from the head, the body cannot have any expression of its own. It has to depend on the nervous impulses coming from the head to be able to function adequately. Now, if you put that in spiritual context, for us as the body of Christ to function effectually, we have to stay connected to the head of the body, who is Christ himself. Because he came to gather us together as his body. And if we think we can live independently, then we are greatly mistaken. Many of us today just make our own decision without thinking about Christ. And that is why we are falling short of the high pedestal that God has placed us in Christ Jesus himself. Remember, Bible says, in fact, put your finger right there with me in Acts chapter 17. We are coming back to it in a short while. Turn with me quickly to the epistle of Paul to the church at Ephesus. In other words, the book of Ephesians. And then we'll see that God has positioned us on a very high pedestal. But if we don't walk by faith or live in obedience to the word of God, we are going to fall short. Not because God has not done his part, but because we are the ones forfeiting that which God has already done for us. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me to chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. I'll encourage you, when you get home, read it from chapter 1 so you can get it in context, because it is a very, very important book to study when we really want to understand who we are as Christians, who we are in Christ Jesus, and the calling that we all have as the body of Christ. That's why, as we all know, that popular verse in chapter 1 that we always pray, verse 18, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, so that we may know the hope of our calling. We have to understand who we are in Christ. We have to know how we ought to depend on Christ for everything. We have to understand our own position as the body and look to the head. We cannot be the head and make Jesus the body. We cannot reverse the role. We cannot be the one calling the shots. As it were, in our lives, we have to allow Jesus, the shepherd, to be the one calling the shots, and we simply follow in his steps. You see, the shepherd is the leader, and the flock follow the shepherd. The flock don't take the position of the shepherd to lead the shepherd. No, the shepherd leads the flock. And we have to understand that Jesus is the good shepherd. He said he is the good shepherd, the true shepherd. He is the one that came to lay down his life for the sheep. And the sheep ought to recognize the voice of the shepherd and follow in the footsteps of the shepherd in obedience, rather than listening to the voice of the stranger. Because there's a stranger out there, and that stranger is the devil. He's speaking to every one of us on a daily basis just to get our attention away from Jesus, the good shepherd, so that we don't end up where Jesus is leading us to. Because the moment the sheep decides to be his own shepherd, he's going to go astray. It's as simple as that. We have to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to depend on him absolutely, not when we feel like it. We have to understand that our very life is in Christ, and our absolute dependence is on him and him alone. We cannot live independently of Christ at any point in time, because if we do so, we are going to shortchange ourselves. We are going to fall short of the mark that God has set for us as his own people. We are not ordinary people in this world. No, 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 no. Bible says we are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, and we must never forget that. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. Look at what Bible says here. For the sake of context, I'll read it from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Please underline that in your Bible. Verse 6, he has made us to sit together. To sit together in heavenly places. That is where you are positioned by God the Father. God the Father positioned you in the heavenly places to sit together with Christ. In other words, where Christ is seated on the right hand side of God the Father, right now you are seated with him in the heavenly places. But that's spiritually speaking. And that's where we run into a problem, because we begin to reason with the mind. How can I sit together with Christ in heaven when I'm still here on earth? Maybe God is talking about the sweet by and by. No, he's not talking about the sweet by and by. He's talking about now that you are a Christian in this present world. You are also seated together with Christ in heavenly places, even though you are physically present here on earth. In other words, there is a link that you have with Jesus, where he's seated by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. Because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And that's where God expects you to operate from. God expects every one of us as his children to operate from that high pedestal that he has placed us in Christ. But in order to do so, we have to choose to walk in the Spirit. As Galatians chapter 5 says, choose to walk in the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the moment you make the choice to walk in the Spirit, you will be operating from that high realm, far above all principalities and power. And the devil knows that when you walk in the Spirit, he can't touch you, because he can't get to the heavenly places where you are seated. His place is no longer found there. That's why the devil puts pressure on every one of us on a daily basis to walk in the flesh. When you walk in the flesh, you are just ordinary. You have forfeited your place of honor and your place of authority in Christ. You see, it is you and me that shall change ourselves. God has done everything for us. He has loved us with the kind of love that passes human understanding. He has elevated us above everything and made us to have the same authority as Jesus himself. But in order to walk in that authority, we have to do what Jesus did while he was here on earth. He obeyed the Father. He did not do his own will. He chose to do the will of the Father, giving us an example of how to walk in the authority of the kingdom of heaven while we are here on earth. But it's a choice. It's a personal choice. It's a personal choice. You cannot choose for me. I cannot choose for you. You can encourage me. I can encourage you. That's where it ends. But everyone has a choice to make. I can choose to walk in the flesh and forfeit my high position in Christ and begin to walk as a chicken when God has made me an eagle. You see, the chicken cannot fly to the height the eagle can fly to. And yet, both of them are birds. They belong in the same group of animal. They are both birds. And you, as a Christian, are expected to soar on the heights as the eagles, not to walk on the earth as chickens. You never see an eagle walking like a chicken all about the place. No, it just goes and glides through the air and spans everything and just goes right there. The height that no other bird can fly to, the eagle can fly to it. That's the closest illustration we can give to our Christian life. God has placed us on the height that no one else can reach to. Even the devil can't get there. The devil knows. And David, you see, I love to use David as an example, because David was a man just like you and I. David was not perfect. He made several mistakes if you study about him. But one thing with David was that he had a genuine heart for God. And because of that, the Spirit of God was strong upon the life of David, gave him so much revelation of Jesus Christ even before Jesus came into this world. And he wrote so many things in the book of Psalms that today, if you and I really study, we'll be amazed at how much revelation David had. All because he had a genuine heart for God. He had a genuine heart for God. And he wrote in Psalm 27. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. You see, after declaring from the first verse that the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? He went on to say, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing, just one thing. He didn't say, I have thousands of desires. Like many of us, I tell you, some Christians today, if you ask them to tell you their desires, they will for a whole day still be writing down desires on a piece of paper. And they probably end up with thousands of desires. Well, there's nothing wrong with having those desires, but you can have a higher understanding of the ways of God and realize that if you have one desire, that one desire will grant you every other desire that you have. You see, that's the key. There's one key that unlocks every other door that is available to you in the spirit. And that key is God himself. If you can get God, then you get everything that God has. It's as simple as that. Instead of making long lists, just say, well, I want you, oh God. Because when you get God, then you get everything he has. If you can get a rich man into your house, then all his riches belong to you. Isn't that so? Because when it comes into your house, it comes with all his fullness. All that he has become available to you while he's in your house. So David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple or in his tabernacle. For in the time of trouble. Now notice what David was saying. This one desire, if I can get it, then I'm going to have great privileges, because when I really get close to God, when I make God my number one priority, when I make God my all in all, then in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his pavilion. And he shall set me up far above all my enemies. Now look at David under the old covenant, understanding that God can elevate us to the heights which the enemy can't get to. Far above, not even just barely above them, but far above. In other words, there is a great distance between us and the enemy. They can't get near us at all. But if we don't soar on the heights where God has placed us, if we come down to the low level as chickens, then even the enemy can trample us under. You know, you can crush chicken. You can walk over their head and crush them to death. Can you do that to an eagle? No, you can't. You just can't. So that's what Bible is teaching us. God has done his part. He has made us to sit in the heavenly places together with Christ. But to maintain that position, we have to walk in the spirit. Galatians 5 says, because if we walk in the flesh is contrary to the spirit. You cannot walk in the flesh and soar like an eagle. When you walk in the flesh, you are just like a chicken. And the devil can oppress you down here. Or you get yourself in the spirit, then the devil begins to tremble because he knows he can't rise up to the heights where God has placed you. His place is no longer found in heaven. The devil has come down to the earth, and the height as far as the devil can reach is the first heaven, which is called the atmospheric heaven. Is the prince of the power of the air. In other words, just the atmosphere over us. That's all. It can't go even to the second heaven. How much more the third heaven where God dwells. And God positioned you in the third heaven. That's where Christ is living. You see the gap between you and the devil when you walk in the spirit. He can't touch you. He just can't touch you because he can't get to where you are. That's why he will put pressure on you to get you to walk in the flesh so that he can bring you down to his own level where he can then crush you and oppress you. Where it's a new year, you can make the right choice right at the beginning of the year and say, I'm going to choose to walk in the spirit. I'm going to choose to take advantage of the great height where God has put me in Christ. I'm not coming down to the devil, to the level of the devil. I'm going to operate on the high level of victory that belongs to me, the authority of Christ in my life. It's good to set the right focus at the beginning of the year and give yourself a vision to pursue through the year. Set that as a vision. Oh, I'm going to operate on the heights. where I belong. That's the place of glory. The place of glory. After all, God said, I shall arise and shine because my light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. I'm going to operate in that glorious realm. I'm going to make choices. No matter what it will cost me, I'll pay the price. I'll make the right choices on a daily basis to walk in the Spirit and ride upon my high places in Christ where the enemy can't touch me. That's similar to what the psalmist said. In Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Every weapon of the enemy can't touch that person, whether in the daytime or in the nighttime. Because you are now operating on the height where the devil can't get to. So if the devil can't get there, can he operate against you? Jesus, while he was here on earth, said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. He can't touch me. I'm not operating on his level. I'm not operating on his level. He can't touch me. I'm far above him. Hallelujah. So, the pedestal that God has placed us in, that's where we must operate from this new year. So it's good to make the choice for yourself, because no one can make it for you. The power of choice belongs to each individual person. No one else can make it for another person. You have to choose for yourself. I have to choose for myself. You can encourage me. I can encourage you. But at the end of the day, each one of us have to make the choice for ourselves. That's why the Bible says each one of us have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to make the right choices, understanding that the choices we make will determine our outcomes in life. So again, this morning we are looking at that and then bringing it into the focus that God wants us to have at the beginning of this new year and run with throughout the year, to actually depend on Christ, totally depend on him, never think independently of him, never do anything independently of him, but to always look to him and follow in his steps. When we do that, we will never go astray. We will never miss the way. We will never miss the mark. We will never fall short of God's destiny for us, because Jesus knows the way. He himself is the one that can lead us into the blessings that God has for us this new year and every day of our lives throughout all eternity. He is our all-sufficient one. He is the bread that came from heaven to feed us so that we don't hunger anymore. He is the source of the water of life that we drink from and we never thirst again. He alone can bring fulfillment to anyone's life. I don't care about how much treasure you have in this world. That treasure or those things you claim to have cannot bring fulfillment to your life apart from Christ. I know many rich people in the world that are living miserable lives. Some of them can't even sleep at night. They have to take drugs, several drugs to sleep. I mean, that's a cost. How can you be a billionaire and you can't sleep? I tell you, some of them will gladly give away their billion just to have peace. And yet you see a poor man, in quote, because they call him poor because he doesn't have as much as the so-called rich man. But that man goes to bed and sleep like a baby. Nothing bothers him. He's at peace in himself and he's at peace with his environment. I tell you, that so-called poor man is better off than the so-called rich man, because his own soul is at rest. The soul of the rich man is not at rest. No wonder the Bible teaches us the story of Lazarus and the rich man. You see, there are things that are of greater value than natural things. That's what I'm trying to get across to us. And if we can secure the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God as the number one priority, God will then bless us with all these other things, Bible says. It's a question of priority. Set the right priority for yourself. on a daily basis and walk in the way that God wants you to walk as his child and possess the possessions that God has purposed for you in your lifetime. So let's go back to Acts chapter 17. Very simple truth we are sharing this morning, but it can make a big difference in our lives always. Simple truth, but very powerful. Acts chapter 17. For the sake of time, let's just go down to verse 28. But remember the account. You know, when you get home, please, you can read it from the earlier verses, particularly maybe from about verse 22, because Paul had gone to this region in Athens, which we'll call present-day Greek or Greece. Now, he had found these people who were very, very zealous, spiritually speaking, religiously, but they were worshiping an unknown God. They were putting so much zeal into the worship, but they did not really know the God they were worshiping. So they were, in essence, idol worshippers. And so Paul seized the opportunity to reveal the truth to them about God and Christ, whom they must worship. And then look at what he said in verse 28. Or better still, I'll pick it now from verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Please underline that in your Bible. God is so close to us than we realize. God is closer to every one of us than the dress we are putting on. That's how close God is to us, because God made man in his image and he wants to help man. But sin separates between man and God. It was sin that made the glory of God to depart from Adam and Eve in the garden. And suddenly they felt naked because the glory left them because they sinned. God was so close to Adam that actually God was the covering for Adam. The glory of God was the dress that Adam and Eve put on. They didn't need any natural thing because God was so close. God was their cloth and their covering. But when sin came, God left. And the gap had to be breached. That's why Jesus came, to bring us back to God. Now that we are Christians, we are so close to God, even closer than Adam was initially. Because now we are coming to God through the second Adam, Bible says, who is the life-giving spirit. Not through the first Adam, who was made from the dust of the earth. So we are closer to God than man was originally. Those of us who are Christians today, that's why the Bible says we are new creatures in Christ. Not old creature that God patched up. No, we are brand new species of people that never existed before. God recreated us in Christ Jesus after his own image and gave us his spirit. And now we share the glory of God again. In a greater dimension, but we have to understand that we need to obey God. We need to walk by faith. We need to live by the word of God in order to enjoy all the privileges that belong to us in Christ Jesus. And so, now look at verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Please underline that in your Bible. That's where we are going this morning. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. In other words, everything about us is in God, in Christ Jesus. If we get ourselves out of that position in God and in Christ, then we lose everything. In Him, everything about us is in Christ. Nothing out of Him. That's what He's saying, in effect. In Him we live. Our very life, our very existence, our breath, everything is in Christ. In Him we move. Our functioning, all that we do, all that we can do is in Him. And our being, our sufficiency, our expression, our everything, who we are, is in Christ Jesus. Out of Him we are nothing. You begin to see why the devil, the same serpent that went in the garden to entice man to sin and lose the garden, you begin to see why it comes against every one of us every day to try to get us to violate the word of God, to try to get us not to live by faith, to try to get us to lean on our own human understanding, to try to get us to do our own will rather than the will of God. Because he knows that just as he got Adam and Eve to lose the garden of Eden, he can get you and I to lose the place of our blessing in God today. It's the same whole serpent. No new tricks. No new tricks at all. And that's why all these things are written for us, so that we don't make the same mistake that Adam made. Don't listen to the voice of the stranger. Listen to the voice of the good shepherd and choose. Because Adam had the choice. And you and I still have the choice today. Choose to obey God. Choose to live by the word of God. Choose not to lean on your own human understanding. It does not matter how logical your reasoning may be. If it is not in line with the word of God, then it is the devil getting access into your reasoning. That's why the Bible says we have to hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, don't underestimate the devil. Remember that after he had worked on the mind of Eve for some time, in Genesis, Bible says Eve looked at the same tree that God said, don't eat from that. And Bible says the woman looked at the tree and said, actually, it's a good tree to eat from. So what had happened to her? The devil worked on her mind and convinced her that what God said is wrong. She should take the initiative and do what she thinks is right. Because the devil said to her, well, when you eat from that tree, you don't need God anymore. You become God yourself. You don't need anybody to tell you what to do. You just decide for yourself and do what pleases you. Forget about God. You become God for yourself. It's the same serpent. Say to yourself, this new year, by the grace of God, I will choose to do the will of God and not my own. Help me, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's one of the most powerful prayers that any of us can pray on a daily basis. Help me, Lord, to do your will today. Help me, help me, help me. Give me the strength because I'm weak in myself. Supply me the grace so that where I'm weak, I may become strong because your grace is sufficient for me. Because I want to do your will and not my own. If we all humble ourselves to ask God to help us daily, when the occasion comes to make the right choice, the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance. Remember, you ask for grace this morning that you want to choose to do the will of God. This is the opportunity. Now go ahead and make the right choice. Then you find yourself making the right choice by the grace of God. See, that's how to live. It's a daily thing. Jesus didn't say, well, the day you come to me, just after that you have confessed me as your Savior, then you can go to sleep and everything is going to be alright. Jesus never said that. If you really study the Bible, for instance, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus himself said, anyone that will come after him must deny himself, take up his cross daily, keyword, every day. and then follow him. In other words, you have to make the choice on a daily basis. Because the devil come every day. The flesh will try to rule you every day. That's why I said, take up your cross daily. And every time the flesh tries to rise up, put it back where it belongs, on the cross. And say, no, I'm dead to the flesh. I'm only alive to God. I'm going to walk in the spirit. I'm not going to choose the way of the flesh. Lord, give me the grace in Jesus' name. See, when you make the right choice, God will back you up. God knows you can't do it without him, just as we are going to see this morning. You can't do it without him, but he's waiting on you to make the right choice, and then he will supply you the grace to help you. But if you are not willing to make the right choice, why should God give you his grace? God doesn't give his grace to help us to sin against him. No, the grace of God brings us salvation, or leads us in the way of truth. So if you are willing and obedient, then God will back you up. It's as simple as that. So just remind yourself every day through this year, in Christ I live, in Christ I move, in Christ I have my being. In other words, I'm not going to do anything apart from Christ. I'm not going to try to even do anything without Jesus. I'm going to make sure that in all that I do, Jesus is my shepherd. And then that brings us to the word of God. How do I live and move in Christ when I don't see him physically? Well, you see Jesus every day. You have Jesus with you in your house every day. And some of you that are smart enough, you carry Jesus with you every day. Because you have the word of God close to you at all times. Some of us are smart enough to always have the Bible with us everywhere we go. Put it in our bag, put it in our purse, put it somewhere. Or maybe using technology, have it on your phone. Just have the Bible close to you. Because when you have the word of God, you have Jesus. And then you go a step further and begin to store Jesus in your heart. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. You begin to store the word in your heart so that in the time of need, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in you, can lift up the standard of the word of God to help you, to teach you, to say, here is the way, walk in it, just as Isaiah prophesied. You hear the voice saying unto you, this is the way, walk in it. Because you paid the price. You store the word in your heart. You have the word with you. So Jesus is right there. Jesus is alive in you. And the Holy Spirit is able to be active in your life because of the word. You have to develop a love for the word of God even more than you love anything else in this world. Put the word of God as your number one love. And you'll be putting Christ as number one. You love Jesus when you love the word. Because himself is the word. He is the word. Bible says that's the name of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 19 verse 13. He has the name which is the word of God. And in John chapter 1, remember, Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. That's talking about Jesus who created all things, and then he came to this earth. He was made flesh and tabernacled with us. So if you are wondering, how am I going to live in Christ and move in Christ and have my being in Christ this new year? Well, you are going to just get the word of God and say, I'm going to live in the word. I'm going to move in the word. I'm going to have my very existence in the word. In other words, the word of God is going to be my everything this new year. I'm going to get wisdom, get guidance from the word, and let the word be the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. I'm not going to violate the word of God. Excuse me. I'm not going to do anything that is contrary to the word of God, because I'm not going against Christ in my life this year. I'm going to make sure that everything I do is in Christ to the honor and glory of God, because when I do so, I will be operating from my high pedestal in Christ. The devil can't touch me, and no evil can touch me. I will walk in victory, because in Christ I am far above all principalities and powers. So it's a choice to make. But we can encourage one another to make that choice. Hallelujah. Turn with me quickly also to Colossians. chapter 3. See, if we can encourage ourselves at the beginning of the year to have the right focus, have the right vision before us, it will be easy to walk on the right road and arrive at the best place that God has for us at the end of the year. We'll all be able to give great testimonies to the glory of God at the end of 2021, because if we walk on God's road, we'll always have God's expected hand. It's as simple as that. And the expected hand of God is always glorious. It is beyond anything that you and I can dream of. Because our God is El Shaddai, and He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to His power that works in us. But there is a price to pay. If we want to get to where God wants us to get to, that far exceeding abundance of everything that God has for us as His children, we will have to obey Him. We will have to live in Him and not get out of Him, because that is the place of our blessing. It's in Christ, in Him alone. Just see it again similarly to Noah. Noah was in the ark, and his household, and everything that was coming upon the world did not touch them, because the ark was their place of safety. I tell you, more than ever before, we need to abide in Christ in these last days. These are perilous times. These are perilous times. We cannot afford to live without Christ now. He is our all in all. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Please underline that in your Bible. You are dead. In other words, dead to the world. Dead to the world, because the world has nothing for you. The world is not your home. You are a sojourner here. You are just passing through this world. This is not your home. You know, a traveler does not travel with excess baggage if he wants to go to where he's going to. Just understand that this world is not your home. It's just a temporary abode for you. You are a citizen of heaven. Heaven is your home. You are heaven bound. You are just passing through this earth to do the work of God while you are here, to be the light to the world, the salt to the earth. And then when your course is finished, just as with Apostle Paul, you will say, praise God, I've kept the faith till the end, I've run the race, I've finished my course. Now I'm going to get the crown of glory which God has promised to all those that love His appearing. I've done my part. I've been a good ambassador for Christ. That's all that counts at the end of the day. Because I'm dead to the world. Paul himself said that. He said, by the cross of Christ, he had been crucified to the world, and the world had been crucified to him. He is dead to the world. The things of the world don't move him anymore. It doesn't bother him anymore. None of these things move him. He was just totally sold out on Christ, just as Christ was sold out on the Father while He was here on earth. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. In other words, all these things don't matter to me anymore. You can shipwreck me many times, it doesn't bother me. You can beat me with many stripes, it doesn't bother me. You can persecute me like you like, it doesn't bother me anymore. You can insult me like you like. That doesn't move me. I'm dead anyway. You know how it is? If you go to the mortuary, for instance, and you see a dead man and you begin to spit on him, does that bother him? Or you kick him? That doesn't even bother him. Or you lie against him, it doesn't bother him. Or you call him names, it doesn't bother him. Or you swear at him, it doesn't bother him. He's dead. You are the one wasting your time. In fact, some people will come and look at you and say, what are you doing? Can't you see the man is dead? You're wasting your time. But if you do the same thing to someone who is alive, they will punch you. You kick them, they punch you. You call them names, they will punch the daylights out of you because they are alive. They are alive in the flesh. So that's what Paul is saying. I'm dead to the flesh and dead to the world. So those things don't move me. I'm only living in the spirit and living to God and living for Christ. That's all. And that's how you and I ought to live every day. So we have to understand that our lives, verse 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, our lives are now hid with Christ in God. That's why in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. It's all about Christ. If you're a Christian, all your life is Christ. Everything is Christ. In other words, everything is the Word of God. When you go to work, you are thinking about the Word of God. What does the Bible say about what I should do while I'm at work? Well, the Bible teaches me, for instance, that while I'm at work, I should make sure that I serve, not for high service. In other words, whether my boss is watching or not, I have to just do the right thing as if God is watching me. And then, Bible tells me, if I'm a boss at work, I have to treat those who work for me with honor and give them what is due unto them. Because I also have a master over me in heaven who is watching me. If, for instance, I don't pay my worker the right wages, well, God is going to demand it from me in heaven. So all these things are in the Bible. I'm a business owner. I have to treat my workers very well. Give them the best. Not just use them and take all their energy and pay them peanuts. All these things are in the Bible. So that's what we are talking about. If we want to live in Christ, move in Christ, and have our being in Christ, we find out what the Word of God says and simply do it. No matter our position. We go to work, we are business owners, we are at college, we go to the supermarket, in the family, in the home, in the business, in all walks of life. Live by the Word of God. Then you'll be operating on your high pedestal. And the devil can't touch you. He just can't touch you. He can't get there. But if we try to be like the people of this world, we'll walk like chicken, the devil will trample upon us. And that's what is happening to many of us, so-called Christians. Because we are just carnal, walking in the flesh. Instead of soaring on the heights, we are like chickens. And the devil is oppressing us all over the place. It's time to wake up. It's time to take our place in Christ. Glory be to God. Finally, let's turn to John chapter 15. And let's hear from the mouth of Jesus himself. We have heard from the mouth of his apostles by the Spirit. Now let us hear directly from the mouth of Jesus. It's all about him. Absolute dependence on him. No life of independence for a genuine Christian. If we really know who we are, we will not live one day apart from Christ. We just can't do it. We can't succeed without him. The whole world is failing because they have no Christ in the boat. The storm is blowing the whole world away. Because they don't have Jesus in the boat. Governments are confused today because they don't have Jesus in the boat. They are in darkness in the world today because they don't have Jesus, the light, in the boat. You and I, as Christians, we are in the world, we are not of the world, so we have to know where our help is coming from and stay right there. But if we choose to be like the people of the world and jump out of the boat where Christ is, then we are going to have exactly the same experiences as the people of the world, and it won't be God's fault. It will be our fault because we jumped out of the boat. Imagine what would have happened if after God had told Noah to stay in the ark, he decided, well, I want to go and explore the world around and see how the flood is going to be. That would have been the end of Noah too. He had to obey God. Stay in the ark. and just stay right there. And God shut him in. Imagine. Even when God was shutting the door, he said, "No, don't shut the door. I don't want to stay in here. I don't like this act. I want to enjoy the whole world. I want to go on sightseeing." God said, "Let me shut you in here in safety." He said, no, I don't want that. God said, "Well, have it your way then." So God would leave him to get out of the ark, and he would have been destroyed. But thank God, Noah was obedient to God and allowed God to shut him in the place of safety. So don't think that when you are in the world and the people of the world are telling you, don't you have other things to think about? You always talk about the world. Just know that that's the devil trying to get you out of where God shut you into. The place of your safety. God shut the door and shut Noah in because he knew what was coming outside. Let God shut you in the world and shut you in the place of victory. The devil can't touch you here. Bible says the devils believe the world. They tremble. They shake all day long because they know the power that is in here. And some of us as Christians think this world is a waste of time and we put it aside. We think we are smart enough. No. The moment you put the world aside, the devil has got you. He has taken you out of your safe place in Christ. Be wiser than the devil this year. Walk in the wisdom of God. John chapter 15, look at what Jesus himself said. You all know the account very well, so we won't waste time, but let us look at it from verse 4 to 7. Let's read together, John chapter 15. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Hallelujah. I tell you, this passage is so straightforward. We don't need any interpreter. Jesus has made it very clear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Just look at the vine. And see how the branches produce fruit. They don't struggle to get fruit. They just stay connected to the vine. And it is the duty of the vine to supply to the branches the nutrients that will make the branch to be fruitful. All that the branch needs to do is just stay attached to the vine. In other words, the branch must depend on the vine in order to be fruitful. That's what Jesus is using to help us understand that we must depend on him. Absolutely. In order to be fruitful in all aspects of life. Fruitful spiritually, fruitful emotionally, fruitful physically, fruitful on the job, fruitful in the business, fruitful in the studies, in the careers, in all aspects of life. Fruitfulness comes from Jesus. Anything apart from Christ will not make us fruitful in the way of God. It will be the counterfeit way of the enemy that is not good fruit, is poisonous fruit the devil gives to people. They think they are fruit, but that's what poisons their souls. Remember, I tried it on Jesus. He said, "Well, just bow down, worship me. Is this in my power to give all the riches of this world to anyone I like?" But don't you realize that those people, they get the riches, but they lose the soul. So the devil gives them poisonous thing. They don't see it as poison. They take it, and eventually, they are destroyed. The prosperity of fools, Bible says, destroys them. But thank God you and I have the genuine fruit from Christ. The fruit that has no sorrow to our lives. Because the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and has no sorrow with it. The fruit that we eat and will sustain us for all eternity. Thank God for Jesus. Oh, live your life this new year thanking God for Jesus every day. Live your life this new year depending on Jesus absolutely. In other words, the word. That's why Jesus made it clear in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words. In other words, that's the key. Abide in me as the living word that came from heaven. And then take my written word here and store it in yourself. So that you living in me and then my word living in you make us to be connected like the vine and the branches, and fruit will be flowing out of your life according to the will of God. So there's a price to pay. It's not something we sit down, fold our hands, and just expect to fall on us effortlessly. If you are going to let the word of God abide in you, that means you are going to have to take time to study and meditate in it. Isn't that so? So Jesus is telling us, take responsibility. Man shall not live by bread alone. He himself, while was here on earth, lived by the word. He studied the word. When the tempter came, he knew what to do. Jesus simply stood his ground in the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. The devil left him for a season. That's the key. You just stay in the word. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. And our fruitfulness comes from him. We depend on Jesus absolutely. And the fruits that God has prepared for us will flow out of our lives. And you know what? In closing, when you begin to produce fruit in your life, don't you realize that you become a source of blessing to many others? That's what God is counting on. That's why the Bible says you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The farmer understands the principle. He knows that when he farms, when the harvest comes, he's not the only one that will eat. His family will eat from it. His neighbors will eat from it. And if the farmer is really producing on a large scale, he will sell to consumers. From his own effort, look at how many people that are eating. When the fruit of God begins to flow out of your life, you will bless many people. And God will be so pleased with you. And God will reward you eternally. Look at, that's what Jesus then says in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So shall you be my disciples. Let every one of us be genuine disciples of Christ this new year and beyond. Let us set the focus aright and say, Jesus is my master. I'm a student under the discipline of the Master Jesus. That's why I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to spend time in the Word, no matter how busy I am. I'm going to make time for the Word, because my very life is in the Word of God. In Him I live and move and have my being. So I'll make time to study the Bible. I'll make time to meditate in the Bible day and night, just as God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, that this is the way you are going to have good success and make your way prosperous. You have to be diligent to meditate in my Word day and night, because this is the life of God. This is the way of the kingdom of God. This is the way of God's authority. This is the way of victory over the devil and all his evil. God told Joshua, just meditate in the word. You will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. No devil will be able to stop you, and no one can resist you. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just be strong, be courageous, take time to study my word, and I will be with you. I will be with you, because when you abide in my word, you are abiding in me, I will be with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. None can stand before you. None can resist you. Anyone stands before you, I will stand for you against them. And I tell you, that's what Jesus will do for every one of us as his sheep, if we obey him. If we obey him. If we obey him. Let's bow our hearts before him and make our prayer before him this morning. This is the time when we all have to do it one-on-one. One-on-one with the Lord. One-on-one with him. This is the time when we individually come before the head, Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, help me. Oh, I want to live for you this new year. I've seen clearly in your word that in you I live and move and have my being. There's no other life for me apart from your life, because you alone are the source of life. The old world is dead in trespasses, as Bible says. So leaving you aside to pursue the world is living life to pursue deadness. But when I have you, you will be the one blessing me with everything the world is pursuing. Help me, Lord, to have the right focus. Help me, Lord, to look unto you throughout this new year as my source of guidance, my source of help, my source of everything that pertains to life and godliness. Remind me by your Spirit daily to spend time in your word, meditating in it, and making the right choices to live by your word, to be a doer of your word, and not a hearer only. Thank you for doing so for me, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. So if you prayed along those lines, I've just done that as an example. You can use your own words. You don't have to use my own words. Just talk to the Lord one-on-one. He can hear your voice. Make your request known to him. He has the supply of grace for you. He knows you. He knows me. He knows our frame, Bible says. Every one of us have areas of strength and areas of weakness. Every one of us. So he knows. He knows where we are weak. And he knows how to help us. But we have to humble ourselves under his hand and say, Lord, help me. Help me. I cannot do anything right without you. As he said, you are the vine, I'm the branch. So help me, Lord. Help me to pay the price. Help me to do my own part. Spend time in the word. And with meekness of heart and humility, choosing to be a doer of the word. And then you will give me the grace, your grace in abundance, to live victoriously and successfully throughout this new year. And to have your glory in manifestation in all aspects of my life. I will arise. I will shine. With your glory, Lord Jesus, and with your light. Because I am one with you. You are the vine, I'm the branch. I'm connected to you and connected with you by your Holy Spirit who lives in me. Thank you for fruitfulness in all aspects of my life this new year. Every area of my life. Thank you, mighty God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just keep reflecting on the goodness of God and reflecting on your union with Christ. And while we are doing that, we are going to pass the elements of communion around. As Jesus said, that we should do this as often as we do it in remembrance of Him.